All right, let's pray. Father, not our will, but your perfect will is being done in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, in our bodies, in our minds. Father, we thank you that your perfect will is being done. For we have asked and we have received. We will not, we cannot leave here the same way we came. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, give him a big praise. Amen. Okay, let's get back into this with the blood. I'm going to go over a little bit of what I went over last time. Of course, not all of it. That'd be 3 hours. So, we're just going to touch base and I'm going to see where God's going to carry this. What I'm trying to get you to see things from a different perspective. Okay? So, that takes time. If you've been trained to see one thing for all your life, it's hard. It takes time. You understand what I'm saying? It takes time to change that perspective, you see. I use this example many times about plants. It's a good example because I truly am in the natural very ignorant of the understanding of plants. I mean, I know some of them. I know that's a pine tree out here in front of the church. I know that. All right. I know that's an oak tree out there in front of the house. You know, I know a couple things. Her dad actually came, you know, when we had our first, thing a couple months ago, the cook-off deal. And anyway, he came to see, Elijah play soccer. And anyway, I took him around my mom's place up there. And, you know, he was pointing, said, "That's this tree and that's that tree." I'm like, "No, I don't know. It looks like a tree to me. I don't know." But here's my point in that. What is that called? The study of plants is called, you know, it's botany, right? Okay. Now, me being ignorant. Now, let me explain something. If someone is ignorant, that doesn't mean they're stupid. That's two different things. Okay, that means they just don't know. Okay, I have not been taught. Okay, lack understanding in that area. Okay, so. Here's the thing. In the area, I am very ignorant, and I am very unlearned, okay? And I have no problem, you know, saying that. So I don't pretend, you know, to know or whatever, okay? That's another problem with Christians. A lot of times Christians will be ignorant in something and will pretend that they know. Well, that's not going to help you learn, is it? Okay? Well, that's what pride does. Pride will pretend that you know something that you know you don't know because you're trying to what? Trying to look good or fit in or, you know what I'm saying? Or afraid or sometimes, you know, afraid you're going to be what? Rejected if they find out you don't know or don't understand, okay? Well, that needs to be eliminated out of your life and you need to really ask God to help you because here's the thing. In that area, I'm ignorant, okay? So when I go out, and I have the same eyes as somebody else, just like her dad, I could, in other words, his eyes have probably been tested, mine have been tested, okay? So we're looking in the natural at the same thing, same tree, but he's seeing something different than I am. Why? This is what I'm trying to get across to you. Understanding, you can have two same sets of eyes, But see things differently. Based on understanding. In other words, he goes in automatically. And you know what your mind will do with you too? Is that if you see a fig tree, okay? And it's winter. It was fall. Getting into winter when he came and saw this. He said, "Oh, look, it says a certain fig tree." Well, there's no figs on it. Okay. But he saw a fig tree. Now, what does your mind do? It automatically puts what? Don't it? It puts figs on the tree when you look at it. If you know it's a fig tree, is this true? You'll look at it and you'll see the natural, but you'll automatically see those figs. See? Now, but somebody that doesn't know it's a fig tree, they don't see none of that. You see? Understanding will show you the future by looking at the same thing. Because understanding just don't base it on its current status, circumstances, condition. You understand what I'm saying? One time I got in trouble. You know, I told y'all about my, you know, I used to be pretty rebel when it come to cars and racing and things. And they caught up with me one day. They never caught me racing, but they caught me speeding or whatever. So I had to go up to the judge and all that. And they gave me some community service. Okay. And so I went up there to the city center to do my community service, and they wanted me to mow the part of it was I had to mow the lawn up there, you know, and with a push mower. And so I'm out there, and I'm not too happy. It's the middle of summer, and I'm young and rebellious, and I didn't know God, you know, and so I'm angry, you know, the whole nine yards. So I'm running, I'm just mowing everything. Well, then I come to find out they get mad at me because they said I mowed over some kind of plants or something. But they wasn't blooming. It looked like big weeds to me. You understand what I'm saying? So that's another thing. Because there wasn't blooming. Flowers, a lot of flowers, when they're not bloomed, it looks like giant weeds. And if you don't know, if you have no understanding, you just see weeds. And weeds need to get cut down. You understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of times, see, we look at our brothers and our sisters and without under, and we think they're a weed. You understand? So we run their mouth on them because we're judging them by their current state and condition. See? And we have no idea what God has chosen them to be, because we haven't asked God to give us understanding. Y'all understand what I'm talking about tonight? Okay. See, there's a lot of people that's the family of God that right now don't look like the family of God. Okay. You understand? Okay. Look at Paul. We call Paul, or they, you know, at first they call him Saul of what? Tarsus. Alright? Saul of Tarsus. When we go to find out in Galatians and we read about it, it says in Galatians, he says that God chose him from his mother's womb. Now, that means that he was sent into this world by God from the very beginning. So he was a part of the family of God even when he was killing Christians. But because people are judged things by their carnal understanding, which, let me explain, I'm going to read here in a second, which is that carnal understanding is no understanding. Okay? You understand? All right? Then we had a problem, huh? You see? Because they were only looking, that because of their ignorance, they could only see a certain way, you see. Ananias, the one that God told to go pray for him. It's like, I'm going, you know who this guy is? And God, I know who he is. I created him. I guess I know who he is. You know, I know who he is, right? He says, well, this guy, man, he's going around killing Christians or a thing. You know, you want me to go find him and lay hands on him, pray for him. And what is it? What is God telling him? What is the Lord telling him? He says, this is a chosen vessel. Woo! He's part of our family. Whether you believe it or not. You see? You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I'm trying to explain things. I'm trying to bring the light, and I'm trying to help you try to see things, that things are not as they appear. Okay? Just in the natural, I'll just give you some natural science. Let's pretend that's not there, but that's plastic. But let's pretend that that was an actual plant. Okay? And I'd ask you what color it was, and you would say, what? It's green. But science will tell you that this is not green. You say, what do you mean science will tell you it's not green? Well, it will. Study it. There's the thing is, because in the colors, light hits it. And the only thing, it's not getting absorbed, it's reflecting back, is green. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not the actual color of it. It's what's getting reflected from the light hitting it. You understand what I'm saying? So it basically, it's an illusion that it's green. So your natural eyes are not telling you the truth. You see? Okay? Now, if that's in the natural, how much more in the spirit? How do magicians do their little thing, right? It's an illusion. They're called illusionists, right? They trick your vision. See, what they're really good at is they'll get you to fall. They'll do fast movement. Scientists will tell you this. When I do fast movement, you can't help. Your eyes are... If something like I'm standing still and something would zoom across the back, your eyes would... You can't help it. You check it out next time. Your eyes would just catch it and move with it. Well, those illusionists, they studied this. They found this out. So what they do is they move fast over here so your eyes are watching, but they're doing something over here that you're not paying attention to. And they're doing it all at the same time, but they've caught you over here and you're not watching what's going on over here. You see? You don't think Satan knows all this? You see? So what I'm saying is, this is why God says lean not into your own understanding. Trust ye in the Lord. And lean not into your own understanding. Okay? So keep that in mind when we go into this about the blood. Okay? Because things are not as they appear. Things have not as that things are really not as we have been taught in times past. Okay? There's something more there than what we're seeing. Okay? But when you get the understanding, then it can come into what? See, if I was to go to school, take a degree, you know, 4 years of school and botany and everything, what would happen? Automatically, just based on the understanding I would give, and my eyes would readjust, so then I would look at things and it would dump out. You see what I'm saying? I would begin to talk different too. Is that correct? You see what I'm saying? See, what it does is it changes your understanding, changes your thoughts. Then that changes what? It changes your vision. And it changes your speech. And that changes your actions. Because then what? I don't cut it down. But I'm like, oh my. Because what do I want to do? Because I'm going to look at it and I'm going to see this beautiful flower. You see what I'm saying? So now I'm not cutting it down. Before I was just seeing the ugly weed, which would cause me to chop it down. Y'all catching what I'm saying? This is very, very important. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You see? Because of their knowledge, their ignorance, they're seeing things from the wrong perspective. They're actually destroying the beauty that God has brought into their life at a future time. You see? You see what I'm saying? See, Paul, out of Paul's own mouth, he said, I made havoc of the church. That's what he said. Out of his own mouth. He said, I made havoc of the church. But yet, he became the church's greatest asset later on. See, oftentimes, what is wreaking havoc in your life now may become your greatest asset later. You got to be careful when you deal with people, because the people that's causing all the chaos in your life at the time may be your blessing your destined blessing in the future. But you cut them off and you cut them down because you're just looking at their current state because you're going by your carnal understanding. You see what I'm saying? And just like I was talking about earlier, that other person don't need to be in my life. That doesn't mean they don't need to be in my life later on. It means they don't need to be in my life right now. You understand what I'm saying? See, the problem with people too is they think in terms of the end. They think that everything is what? Final. See, with God, you see, when you got someone who has the power of resurrection, that kind of makes things not final. Does it? When someone can resurrect something, that means death is not what? It's not final, is it? It's not final. Okay? So you never know. Let me give you an example. King Hezekiah had everything out of order in his life, and you know, God sent Isaiah the prophet to him and said, you know, get your house in order because you're going to die. And then Isaiah left. And he just spoke the word of the Lord and walked out. Hezekiah goes and finds him a closet to pray in. And starts getting real what? Serious with God. See, he hadn't been serious with God, but now he's getting serious with God. He knows that Isaiah is a great prophet of God. And he's like, I'm in trouble. So he finds him a place and he starts getting real serious with God and starts bringing a case before God why God shouldn't let him die right now. And trying to get things in what? In order. Well, after he finishes, God speaks to Isaiah who's walking away and says, go back and tell him that I'm going to give him 15 years. Y'all say? What happened? That man was dead as soon as God said it. But then God had the power to what? Resurrect it. Come on, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. See, a lot of times we get involved with our own... Yeah, our own emotions, see. And even if God has said something, you just need to leave it... Just need to leave it alone. You know? Let God... You say, why are you talking about this in the blood? Because I'm talking about family. And blood and family have everything to do with one another. And a lot of the problem in the church is we're crucifying people and putting to death people that's supposed to be our family, our blessing, our destiny, our help in the future, and we're just chopping it. We're chopping it down. We're destroying it. We're saying it's of no use. Because it's not pretty right now. Isn't that what carnality is? Carnality is all about what's pretty what? Now. Think about it. Somebody, if you would check your phone, please, because I think a phone is coming in over this thing. So we're trying to put this over the internet. So please turn it off if... Because I'm trying to put this over the internet, and if it comes through, then we can't. The people that are going to listen over the internet, they're not going to be able to. They're going to hear all that noise. Thank you. So let's get into this. I'm going to start this because I want you. I'm just trying to open your mind. I'm trying to challenge you to be more open minded and not narrow. Minded, see. That's the problem. We go into things based on our past understanding, and we're so narrow-minded, and we're seeing things only one way. And what we're doing is we're saying that God couldn't be any other way. And it's just that's not even true in the natural. Is what I'm trying to say. It's not true in the natural, and it's not true in the spirit. It's certainly not true in the spirit. So I'm just praying for you right now that you would open your heart tonight. Open your mind tonight to be challenged by the Word of God, to be challenged to see things from a different perspective, okay? And so God's going to help me try to show you the perspective that He began to show to me years ago, and I begin to see things from a different perspective, okay? And I'm not done, because even as I give it to you, He even helps me see more. Because have you ever understood something, and when you begin to teach someone else, you begin to go back over it? You understand what I'm saying? And then you begin to see things that you didn't see when you learned it the first time. And then your vision becomes better and greater and clearer. You see? So, and that's all part of the plan, because if you give, it shall be given. You see? So let's get into this thing. Let's open it up and go to John 6:60. John 6:60. John 6:60. I'm gonna try to broaden your spectrum. I'll try to show you how powerful this revelation is. I went through all this stuff about self-centeredness and all this because we're so conditioned. We don't realize we're so conditioned to see things only from a self-centered perspective. And this is the problem. When you're seeing things from a self-centered perspective, you're not seeing it from a family perspective. You see? So you're not seeing it from a godly perspective. Because the first thing that God put here was, listen, before there was a church, there was what? There was a family. Without a family, there's no what? There's no church. The problems we're having in church are because of the problems starting in the family. The disorder in the family rolls over into the church. And you can never get the church in order when the family is out of order. And you got the ministers, they don't seem to understand this. They keep trying to focus on the nation. They're talking about the nation. And then some of them are a little better, they're talking about the church. Few talk about the church, most talk about the nation. But here's the thing. The nation, the church, that's not the problem. When you fix the family, you fix the church, and then you fix the nation. It goes in that order. They're focusing on it from the wrong, exactly the wrong end. Focusing on it from the nation is the complete opposite of what's supposed to be doing. Okay? Look at what he says here. He says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I say a lot of things. It's not me that's saying it. He gave it to me. But when I say it, I repeat what he told me. People say this a lot. They're like, who in the world? Who can hear this? Like, where'd this come from? You see? Well, guess what? I'm showing you, Jesus had the same problem. And if I'm following Jesus, and I'm hearing Jesus, he's still going to have the same problem, isn't he? Alright, still have the same problem. They say, who can hear this stuff? We ain't never heard it. This doesn't line up with what we've been taught. We heard something. No. Now listen to what it says. Verse 61, he says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend ye? And see what happens, I talked to a minister the other day. He came in here about a year and a half ago. Year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. He came in here on a Sunday night, and I began to minister, and he began to turn red. And he'll tell you this to this day. He said, I made him so mad when I began to preach. He said, I made him so mad. He said, I was so mad. He said, I went home determined to prove you wrong. He said, so I went and got in that, I went and got my Bible and started going through all them scriptures you're talking about, and he said, the funny thing happened though, the more I tried to prove you wrong, the more I found out what you said was in the Bible. You see? So, I like that though. He's honest about it. He's honest about it today. A lot of people won't do that. They'll just get offended and won't even look. That's it. They'll get offended and that's it. See? He got offended. Sometimes offense is good. Because it will provoke you to do some research on your... Now let me give you some advice. You shouldn't let that be the case. You shouldn't let offense motivate you to study. To prove people. It says study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what it says. Okay? But, not to use anything in this, you know. But I do like it that he just didn't get offended and just say, well, that's a false prophet, and he didn't go try to check it out in the... That's what most people do, though. They will not go try to check it out or anything. Because what it is they're hearing something they've never heard before, so they just automatically say, it's what? It's false. I told y'all before, a lie may have been in power for 2,000 years, but that doesn't make it the truth. Just because everybody has believed a lie for 2,000 years does not make it the truth. You see. And I told y'all, he said, well, there's never been a lie that's been in power for 2,000 years. Oh yes, there's been lots of lies. They didn't be in power a lot longer than 2,000 years. There's some lies that I think they're still in power. You see, I told you one of them. This is because I use it a lot because it's a good case. You can easily go find out for yourself. Doctors used to, for thousands of years, doctors used to go, when you were sick, that you'd go and they would go and bleed you. Because they believed, their understanding was that sickness was in the blood. And that when they cut you and the blood went out, that the sickness would go out of your body. So up until a little over 100 years ago, they did this. But then scientists found out what I'm about to read to you in a second, which that they found out that life was in the blood. And then they're like, uh-oh, if life's in the blood and we bleed you, that means your life is spilling out on the ground. That's not a good idea. So if someone's sick, they're already weak, and then you take their life and pour it out of them, that's gonna open them up to greater what? Sickness. Because their body's gonna be weaker and not be able to fight what's coming against them. See? But that lie had been in power. They thought the Greeks did it. They thought they were so smart. But see, now this generation couldn't be doing anything like that because they're so smart, right? You know, they're just so smart. Couldn't do anything stupid like that. Right? See, that's the problem with each generation. They have that mentality. It's the problem, see. You see? Okay? Now, listen to what he says here. I'm trying to show you something. I'm bringing you along. I know I try to break this down as much as I can. As much as God to help me. Alright? So, he's saying things that they've never heard before, and they're getting mad, they're getting offended. And then he knows it. Now, these aren't just regular people. Notice what it says. These are not multitudes. These are what? These are disciples. These are people who have left their families. They've left their jobs. They left everything and followed this man. But see, I've had people like that. I've had people, they've left everything, start falling, and they did it for a while. But then God come with something new, and it offended them, and then that was it. And then they quit. They quit. Just like these guys right here. They quit. You see, they quit because they were offended, and they were not open-minded to hearing something, understanding something that a generation had never heard or understood before. Listen to me. If you're the type of person that is not interested in hearing and understanding something that a generation has never understood or known before, you're in the wrong church. You need to go find somewhere else. Seriously. Because I'm not going to have to tell you that. It won't be long that you're offended, and you will go find somewhere else. You have to, I'm not saying that you're going to understand everything immediately, but you have to be willing, to be open to understand. And it may take a while, because some of the things that I'm going to teach and say, God gave them to me. He gave it to me. But He's going to have to, I can teach it, and I can say it, or He can do it through me. But He's still going to have to give it to you in private. It's something that has to be unlocked inside of you. You understand what I'm saying? I can't do that. That's where your time with God, that's where that happens. You understand what I'm saying? See, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what did Paul say Christ in you was? He said, the mystery. He said, this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I can tell you about the book of Revelations, that these prophets have it all wrong. They think that the book of Revelations is about current natural events, you see. The book of Revelations is not about natural carnal events mainly. Has nothing. You can use it. All the Word of God can be used, or God can pick some word out of the Bible and use it for a given situation. Does that make sense? Because the Word is alive and active. So that means you can read a psalm that applies for your current situation, but it applied for David's current situation thousands of years ago. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? In that manner, yes, it can be applied to natural things, but that's not the real thing with it. Listen to what it's called. It's called the Book of Revelation. The revelation of what? So Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ is not about natural events. Is it? What's the revelation of Jesus Christ about? Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. So the book of Revelations is really about the understanding of what takes place in the temple of God. So there's seven seals, there's seven trumpets, and there's seven bowls of wrath. So you know how that works? I'm blowing a trumpet right now. Those who hear the trumpet and receive it, a seal, and where that seal broke inside you. And who becomes your teacher? My job is, when he does it through me, he can blow it trumpet through me, and it can break the seal in you, but it's the Christ in you that's going to teach you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you don't listen though, if you reject the trumpet, then guess what happens? A bowl of wrath is open. And that means tribulation has just come to your life for the wrong sake. See, there's tribulation for the Word's sake, and there's tribulation for rebellion's sake. Does that make sense? There's tribulation that comes because people are rebellious, and there's no profit in that tribulation unless it brings you to repentance. Then there'll be profit. But if it doesn't, there's no glory in that. Now, the tribulation that comes for the Word's sake, that's different. There's reward for that, isn't there? Okay. Listen, that I just gave you a touch of Book of Revelations. That's just very simple. Okay? But that's what it is. There's seven trumpets. That means there's seven certain messages, or main messages, or what? Are seven main understandings that God will what? Trumpet. And when you receive those, you see, then it will break the seals in you. And it said when a seven seal is broke, it says that the city becomes the kingdom of... Well, who's that? What do we also call? We call it city all the time. City set on a hill. Called New Jerusalem. Called Zion. This great city of the what? The North. Hallelujah. See, people, I know a lot of people have never seen it this way. Well, because God has never blowed this trumpet. Wasn't time. Hallelujah. But He's blowing now. He's blowing it now. And so He's blowing it. Now, when we get in this blood thing, He's blowing a new... Part of the... See, what was the first trumpet really about? The first is the blood. So He said the first shall be... And the last shall be... See? Okay? So, there's a revelation that came from the blood with the first trump. But there's a revelation that's coming now of the blood in the last trump that seals up the whole thing. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now I'm going over this now. Alright? Now look. Let's hold it. Look. So, So Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him and said unto him, doeth this offend you? He said, what if you shall see? What if you shall see? What if you shall see things differently the way I see them, right? Yeah. You see? He said, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said, listen to what he says. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profit what? Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. Y'all see that? He said, the flesh profits. So seeing things through the flesh profits nothing. He said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit, the word quickeneth means to giveth life. It's the Spirit that giveth life. He said, the flesh profits nothing. Then he says this, the words I speak, they're just not ordinary words. He said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? Now, again, hold that thought, right? Now go to Leviticus 17:11. Third book in the Bible. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he said, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, again, let's put these scriptures together. He said, in John, he says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that giveth life. He said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are what? Life. This tells us that life is in the blood. Okay? And he said, it's the blood that makes an atonement for the what? The soul. So now let's put this together. All right? Let's see this from a different perspective. So, if life is in the blood, and the words he speaks, they are spirit, and they are life, that means that the words that he speaks is the blood. You can't separate it. It's the same. You see? So now, when you go back to John, he says, well, the thing that they got offended of was, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, you have no life in you. You see? And they're like, and what was the problem? They're thinking carnally. Just like people are today. Just like when they read the book of Revelation and it says the nations gather and they're thinking these natural nations around there. And they're thinking that when these natural nations gather in the valley of Megiddo, that Jesus is naturally going to show up and speak naturally out of his mouth, and it's going to slaughter all of them in the valley of Megiddo, 200 million, and the horses, and the blood, natural blood, is going to run as high as the horse's bridle. That's what they think. Same problem that they had back then. You see? Because they were so self-centered. Being self-centered in the flesh. See? Not understanding spiritual language and spiritual things. See? See, the word bridle, when you get into the thing where it flows to the horse's bridle, and you get in that, you get into this whole thing of, circuit. And circuit comes from the word circus. And circus comes from the word circulate. You see? So it all goes back to actually what I'm saying now. Unless you start drinking his blood and letting it circulate. You see? And what is the horse's bridle? It's right here. It's you take the horse that don't want to listen and you put a bridle in it and you guide it. You understand what I'm saying? The blood flows to the horse's bridle. It means, who's the horse? You see? So what does that mean? It means the blood, which is the words, one day in Revelation, will flow to the horse's bridle. And it will slaughter that part of you that is against God. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's a part of you that's against God. There's a part of you that fights God. And every time God speaks, that part what? It rears its head. It raises up. You know. Okay? There's a lot of this stuff, see. The problem is men are trying to... They're trying to look at this thing with their natural intellect. And they're trying to make it make sense. You see. But they have not looked at the language of God, just like they did back then. They didn't look at what God was talking about. They didn't take the time to listen to His understanding, to go to His school. You see. They wanted to establish a school of their own, you see. See, when you do this on your own, then you can take credit for it. You understand what I'm saying? So again, think of the natural church today. Now, what I say to the natural church is so offensive to them, because they've been hearing since they were a baby, you know, well, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and when Jesus comes back, either Jesus is going to come back before the tribulation, during the tribulation, or after the tribulation. That these people fight amongst themselves when that's going to be. And then they fight how He's coming back. So, you know, some say He's coming before the tribulation, which is before the right at the seventh trump blowing, right? And then they fight, and then they say that, you know, He's going to take us out of here, and that we're going to fly out. And hence the Left Behind series, where the people, like, float out and the clothes are left folded on the seats. And this stuff sells hundreds and billions of dollars. And the key word is it what? It sells. I don't sell this. Matter of fact, not only do I not sell this, it costs me all the time. You understand? It's like people believe that you're going to float out of the sky and your clothes are going to be folded and set in the seat. But then they can't believe that God will heal them of cancer. That means they don't believe none of that anyway, do they? They don't really believe any of that stuff. It's just something that... They're just in a religious trance. And if you come against what they're saying... Woo! You say... I don't get mad. If you say that I'm crazy or whatever, you got your own opinion. That's fine. I'm not going to get mad. It doesn't bother me. Okay? So anger shows that what? Anger shows they really don't believe it anyway. Because the reason why I don't get mad about anyone challenging what I'm saying is because I actually believe it. Therefore, I'm not going to get mad at you because you don't. Because I'm not afraid that I'm wrong. They're afraid they're wrong. And it's fear that bursts the anger, because they're thinking in themselves, if that's not true, then I believe. But they really don't see. They're really not catching it. They don't believe it anyway. So they're going to fight you to try to believe it. You say. They'll tell you that some of these denominations, I pray for them, they tell you, God doesn't heal no more. That passed away with the apostle. But you're going to fly out of here. And he's going to fold your clothes and put them down and everything. I mean, come on, y'all. I mean, man, we got to wake up. You understand? When Paul said I knew a man that was caught up. That's where they get that word from. Caught up, rapture, right? Because it's a Greek word. See, they love to do that too. They love it. It don't say caught up. I mean, it don't say rapture. Because it comes from a Greek word. But they like to be cute about it and use the Greek word. And say, oh, rapture. You know, it's just caught up. See, I once knew a man that was caught up to the third heaven. in the body or out of the body, I know not. But that man heard things that were lawful, unlawful to be spoken. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Paul also said, he has made me to be seated with him in heavenly... Okay. Well, if I get the word, if I drink the blood, it's going to catch me, but I'm still going to... That's how he said one will be taken and one's left. See, I can preach this. I've seen it in the church. I've preached it and one's taken and one's left. But their bodies are both stuck in it. But one gets healed, one's life is changed, the other stays. One is taken, one is left. You understand what I'm talking about? I can prove this. See, I want to believe that rapture stuff too. Because you know why? It appeals to the flesh, doesn't it? Because it's saying, you know what? I don't have to go through anything. And Jesus is just going to, when it gets rough, Jesus is going to float me out of here. You see what I'm saying? Hey, I would love that to happen. Be nice with it. Give it up, man. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting. They're going to keep waiting. You know when that doctrine came in? It came hard in a little over 100 years ago. That doctrine really didn't exist till around some Catholics in the Catholic Church started bringing forth that doctrine. And what was it? Get people's eyes off of the what? Because see, if you want to put everything in the future, it gets people's eyes off of the... You see? Because I got news for you. The second coming has already happened. Y'all feel that? It's already happened. It's not going to happen. It's done happen. You're like, what do you mean it's done happen? Yeah, it done happen. It's done been happening. When was the second coming? See, this is some scripture. See, I begin to study this out. See? Because God asked me questions. See, when you ask God questions, God asks you questions. Did He not do it through Jesus? They asked Jesus questions, what did He do? Asked Him questions. Right back. He'd answer questions with questions. He still does it. He actually still does it. Here's a problem. Check this out. Here's a problem. Alright? He asked me a question. He said, I was reading down through Matthew chapter 24. It says the angels are the reapers at the end of the world. That word world is also age. This natural world ain't going nowhere, by the way. So all them preachers that say this natural world's gonna catch on natural fire and burn up, well, that's not happening either. Because they're thinking what? Carnality. The world is already on fire, right? Now, you know when it began? Oh, karada, shidada, kata, babuku, shadada. I mean, when did it become on fire? It started on the day of Pentecost when the fire hit the upper room. It began to set this world on fire. And the Holy Ghost fire has been here ever since and is going to burn all sin out of this world. It will not stop until it's all gone. Y'all hear me? And this earth, there'll be, what's it talking about? The earth, the old earth will pass away. What's the old earth? Right here. Adam. And it says there'll be a new earth and a new heaven. What's the new heaven? The spiritual body. The old heaven has passed away. I tell you when the new heaven, the old earth and the old heaven passed away. You know when it really passed away? Because what was the old, that body Jesus had was the old earth and the old heaven. And God set it on, because He was the Lamb, was He not? Was He not the Lamb? What did they do to the Lamb? But what did they do? They slayed Him, but what did they do after they slayed Him? They set Him on, is that what they did? They roasted Him, set it on. Is that what they did? So what do you think God did? Set Him on fire. And that earth and that heaven burned. And John said, I saw a new heaven and a new... He wasn't speaking future. You know what? Listen, says the Spirit of God. Listen to the truth. Stop listening to lies, says the Spirit of God. Lies have held you back. Lies have put you in bondage. Lies have stolen your life and your authority and your power, says the Spirit of God. Listen to the truth. This is what happened. What happened is, when he was on that cross, he was the Lamb. He said, John said, behold the Lamb of the world that taketh away the sin of the world. But yet the church still says, I'm a sinner. But he said, the Lamb taketh away the sin. What's the problem? That's right. Ignorance. My people are destroyed. A lack of knowledge. On this cross, he's the Lamb. He was the old earth and the old heaven, because he was the temple of God. He said, I'll tear this temple down in 3 days and I'll build it back up. Is that what he said? And what were they thinking back then? The same thing that people are thinking today. They said, how's he going to... It took Solomon 40 years to build this temple. The same thing that went on back then is going on today. It's the same thing. People can't see because they're looking at themselves. He said, I'll tear this temple down and I'll build it back up in 3 days. And what happened? See, that was the temple. That was the old earth and the old heaven. Because the heaven has always dwelt in the temple. Hallelujah. Always dwelt. And wherever heaven dwells, God dwells. God always dwells in the temple. Hallelujah. Talking about God's coming. God's been here. Hallelujah. You just didn't what? See him. You thought he was a weed. Mowed him over. Cut him down. It's the truth. Because where was he at? He was in your brother. He was in your sister. He was in your neighbor. He was in the homeless guy knocking on your door, asking for food. He was there. He was here. He was everywhere. But no, that can't be God. That's not God. Not God. What did he say? I ain't make this stuff up. Jesus said, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, come on somebody, you gave me drink. He said, when I was in prison, you come and visited me. And they said, Master, Master, when was I hungry and we fed thee? When was I naked and we clothed thee? When did we come visit you in prison? See, they thinking. He said, when you have done this to the least of these, you have done it unto me. Why? Because it's him. See, we have a problem. We can't see it like that because we can only see self. And then when we see self, we're so narrow-minded and we can't see it. Oh, that can't be God. It's not God. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't be in that. God wouldn't be that homeless guy showing. Okay. Well, God wouldn't be that man killing them Christians down there neither. But sure seemed like it said he was. You see, this is what happened. Let me tell y'all something. This is what happened. On that cross, he was the Lamb. And what happened was God slain him. And then God set him on fire. And he burned the old earth and the old heaven. But then he rose, he raised it back up, a new heaven and a new earth. And he took that new heaven and new earth and began to break it into pieces and give it to his disciples. You understand that? See, John, when John says in Revelation 21 that I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down from heaven, he ain't talking about this. There's a natural city going to float out of space. And this is what people believe. A natural city going to float out of space and land over there in Jerusalem and sit down. Plop down on the other one and crush it. I guess it's going to crush it. And sit down on top. That's not what he's talking about. Let me tell you something. John, see, was the only disciple that was standing there. So what happened is, see, he was standing there in the natural, but he couldn't see what was going on in the what? The Spirit. He didn't see it till years later when God took him back to the cross. And he said, see, son, then you are looking through the natural. But now let me show you what happened that day when you were standing there. Now he goes back in the Spirit and he sees in the Spirit and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down, a new Jerusalem come down out of heaven like a bride adored for her husband. He saw it because this is what he saw. He saw that when that soldier pierced his side and blood and water come out of his side, that what come out wasn't just blood and water. What come out was the new church. It was the new creation. It was the new Jerusalem. Because where was the old heaven and the old earth? It was inside that body. And then out of that body come the new heaven and the new earth and begin to spill itself over into this world. And how was it born? It was born out of the what? The blood. What was the blood? The Word. Hallelujah. My friend had a vision years ago. He was on a 40-day fast and he was praying, seeking God, and he said, I think it was the angel Gabriel came in a vision and took him back into time and set him there at the cross. And he said, I saw him hanging on that cross. He said, I saw that Roman, oh God, son of a sheep. He said, I saw that Roman soldier standing there. I saw Mary. I saw John. He said, I saw. And he said, I saw when that soldier took that spear and pierced him right there. And he said, I saw the blood and the water that John talked about. He said, but I saw something else. He said, I saw light come out of that side. And he said that light began to travel around the world. What was that light? It was a consuming fire. Because let me tell you a secret. It says the Word of God. It says, hallelujah. He says, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. And he says, life is in the what? Blood. Then he also said, God is light. So if God is light and God is the Word, then the blood is what? Light. And that word light, it means fire. Look it up. It means fire. Light means fire. I mean, the word is light or lightning, fire. So that means the blood of God is, it's fire. Y'all understand this? So what come out of his side was the spiritual blood, which is the Word, which is light, which is the fire. And it began to travel. And he said he saw it. It traveled all the way around the world. And it came back to that point on the cross. It did like this. And then he said, then it went like this. He said it went like this. And then it went like this. And then it just started like this. Y'all see what I'm saying? It did this, or did this, and then this, and then this. It consumed everything. It baptized this world in the blood of God. Hallelujah. And that blood is His what? Life. And that life is available to anybody tonight who will reach out and take it. He said He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him. That word in the Greek means cantalambano. Cantalambano means to take a hold of. It means take a hold of. See, there's power everywhere. And how do you take a hold of it? By faith. You can feel the atmosphere in here. I can pull that power from the blood that is in here. That blood is in me. That blood is on me. And that blood is around me. You see? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you to see things in a different light. See? The second coming was when He came by His blood, which is His Spirit, which is His Word, which is His life. And He came to the whole world. Now it's whosoever will. See, it wasn't that way before. This earth was not baptized in His blood, in His word, in His understanding before. It is now. Amen. And whosoever will draw nigh unto Him, He said, I'll draw, that blood will draw nigh unto you. You see? He said, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. You see? The new heaven and the new earth is here if you can receive it. Hallelujah. Let me show y'all something. Go to Matthew chapter 17. See, the greatest power of the enemy is to convince you that you don't have something that you have.
It's actually pretty exciting because your whole life you think that you actually
have something. So you can't take advantage of it because you think it's not here. So you're waiting for something always to happen. And you're missing out and you don't see what is right in front of your face. Because you're seeing from the wrong perspective. See, just like I told you, that flower was right in front of my face because I had the wrong understanding. I could not see it. Fig tree, right in front of my face. Can't see it. You see? Because I'm waiting for it to bloom. But before it blooms, I'm going to cut it down because I don't know what it is. So what happens with this teaching is people are cutting God out of their life before He blooms, He matures, because they're not seeing that He's already here. So they're waiting for Him to come. So it's also an excuse. Now check this out, it's very powerful. See, their excuse is, well, I can't overcome this sin because I'm waiting for Jesus. When Jesus comes, I'll be overcoming. Lie. See? So it's an excuse to keep doing what they're doing. Because see, once you believe He's already come, there's no excuse. There's nothing but accountability. Oh. Uh-oh. Look what it says here. Look what it says. I'll just read through this. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a what? A high mountain apart. Apart. I told you this is year of the mountain. Those of you that climb the mountain this year, He's fixing to show you something that no one else has ever seen. Yet it be right in front of their face. Hallelujah. He says, and He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun. And His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses. And that's supposed to be, it says, I don't know why they did this in the New Testament, but it says Elias, but it's Elijah. It says, talking with Him. Verse 4, it says, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for Thee to be here. And if Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias or Elijah. See, what's Peter's problem? Same problem. You see? Same problem. Verse 5. It says, while He yet spake, behold. Now, see, God didn't like what He had to say. He said, while He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Look, He says, hear ye Him. So in other words, shut up and listen. I'm going to put it to you in modern... Shut up, shut your mouth, and listen. Alright, verse 6. He says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except the word save. I mean, like, except Jesus only. Now look, what happened is, look, when he touched them, they saw something different. You see that? I'm going to tell you something. It's not that anything changed. They were just looking at it from... Let me tell you what they saw. They saw Moses still standing there. They saw Jesus still standing there. They saw Elijah still standing there. But they recognized that, you know what? That's just Jesus. They stopped looking at it narrow-minded and started seeing it as that Jesus was a family. Everybody's like, whoa. Jesus is a family.
But God wasn't just saying, like when he said that, he wasn't just talking about single Jesus, he's talking about all three of them.
Because it's Jesus. Because they carried the word of God. And you cannot. The blood is the blood. The word is the word. Come on, y'all. Come on. Hallelujah. The light is the light. Come on. You see? Y'all see it? You can't just separate it. That's why Jesus said, y'all see, he said, oh, we believe in the prophets. And Jesus said, you don't believe in the prophets. If you believe in the prophets, you would believe what I'm saying, because the prophets and me are one. It's the same. We're the blood. We're the light. We're the Word. We're the Son of God. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What is that Son? That Son is His blood, which is His Word, which is His life, which is His understanding. You see? Moses saved the people back then, didn't he? Well, if Moses saved his people, then who saved them? Say, well, God saved them. Well, yeah, okay, God saved them. But who saved them? The Son. God so loved the world, He gave His what? Son. The Son has been showing up on the scene. Hallelujah. There's just been what it is. The Son's been showing up. See, God couldn't show the Son all at once, because people would get burned. Y'all catching this? Because if the sun is the blood, and the blood is a fire, and that fire be a consuming, if you just dump it all out. So he had to give it in portion. Still doing that. If you don't believe this, he told his disciples, he said, I knew you before the foundation of the world. Well, how can he say such stuff? I knew you before the foundation of the world. What's he talking about? He said, I knew you before the foundation of the world. That means they came from the same place. That means they are the same. Hallelujah. They came from the Word. They came out. They come from the light. They come from the understanding. You see? I knew you before the foundation of the world. It's in there. Read John. I knew you before the foundation of the world. How could he say to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in thy womb, I knew thee? How could he say that? How? How can you know somebody that never even came out of the womb? That means they must have come from another place. You see? Had to come from somewhere else. And wherever it come from, had to know them. Know them there. You see? Louis says, I'm going to show y'all. That's powerful. Man, I wish I had all night. I could go all night until someone fell off the top of the roof. And he says, verse 6, He says, and when the disciples heard, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And he said, when they had lifted up their eyes, look, they saw no man except Jesus only. You got to see what I'm saying. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, we knew him in the flesh. We no longer know him in the flesh. And then he says this. He says, we know no man after the flesh. So what it was, after Jesus touched them, they stopped seeing in the flesh. Stopped seeing in the flesh. They stopped judging things by their carnal understanding and their natural way of seeing. You say, hold on, just hold on. I'm going to fix this one. Hold on. Let me tell you this out. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, telling it, saying, tell the vision to no man. Why? Wasn't time yet. Mm-hmm. See, God's allowing me to tell this now. Okay? A lot of things. Paul saw this, wasn't allowed to tell it. He said, I knew a man. But he said, heard things that were unlawful to speak in this world. Okay? But now it's lawful because it's time. Because it's the seventh trump. Now check this out. Verse 8 says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. Verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Years ago, God showed me that one. That's a whole nother deal. Oh, yeah. It says, arisen again. What's that supposed to mean? He had to be risen more than one time? Well, y'all figure that one out. Go pray. See, there's lots of stuff that's there that you don't... You don't catch it. Because you know why you don't catch it? Because you're in the wrong atmosphere. When you get in the right atmosphere, and then you read it, it's like, oh my God, where did it come from? And what, because it's a, he said, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is not what? Bondage. There is not what? Prison. When you're in prison, you can't see nothing. Because you're in what? You're in prison. You're walled in. Can't see beyond them. And when I used to work at the prison in Woodville, they got a unit in Livingston, it's an old unit. It's called the Walls Unit. You know why it's called Walls Unit? Because it's a gigantic wall around that thing. Concrete. And buddy, you can't see. If you're in there, well, if you're outside of it, you can't see in and you can't see out if you're in. So, alright, but this is the point I want to get to. Check this out. It says, gosh, is so much. Verse 10. His disciples asked him. Now, here's the kicker I want to show you about something. Here's the problem with people. See, your reality is going to be what you believe. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So Jesus may not, you know, Jesus has been in here, but if you don't believe this stuff, then he ain't come to you. You ain't had your second coming because you don't believe. You understand what I'm saying? I'm working on another coming. I done went through the second coming. I done went through the other comings. I'm working on another coming. Because it's according... I'll show you. If you don't believe me, look what he says here. It's very interesting. Verse 11. Jesus, he said, the disciples asked him, saying, when then shall the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come? So they're asking, look, you know, the scribes are talking about when Elijah comes. So what they're talking about, they're confused because they saw him in the manifestation of the Messiah. You understand what I'm saying? But the scribes taught that Elijah must first come before the Messiah could come. So what they're thinking is, how in the world, we know what we just saw, but how can you be the Messiah if Elijah hasn't come? Because we haven't saw Elijah come back yet. And the scribes teach that Elijah must first come before the Messiah can come. That's what they're asking you. And listen to what he says. He says, verse 11, he says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Listen to what he says. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already. Y'all see that?